You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall here with you. And we've just got the one event this week, with the FedEx Cup race having a week off before the Tour Championship at Eastlake. So just the Italian Open for us to get stuck into on the podcast this week. But as ever, we'll reflect on last week first. Welcome along to you, Mike and Dave. And every single week on the PGA Tour, it seems as if the best player in the world changes. And this week it's Dustin Johnson, Mike, after his win last week.
Yeah, he played great, didn't he? And never really looked like getting beat, did he? He was just when he plays like that, he looks like some player. And he's been playing well for a while now since his US Open win. I tipped him a couple of weeks ago, and he just kind of didn't quite follow through his run, but he was tempting last week at eights, I have to say, but we didn't do him, so good performance by DJ.
Yeah, and the man that you didn't want to win on the European Tour, we have that feature on the end of every podcast, won, Yu Slouten winning his national title.
Yeah, he's I obviously didn't put him up because it was a new course, and even though he might have played it a couple of times, we didn't really know. He tweeted a picture, but we didn't really know how well he knew it. It was enough to put me off him at 16s, but there you go, he went and won. I suppose one thing with him, he does play well in front of his home fans. Yeah, that's proven down the years, which is relevant to the Italian Open, which we'll come to later. But yeah, that idea of playing in front of your home fans, I think the instinct is to say, oh, it'll inspire you. It doesn't always happen, does it? Some people kind of cry away from it, but he's one who definitely gets an extra 10-15% when he's in front of his Dutch Fench.
it was a brilliant closing.
He was 10-1 last week, wasn't he? But he was 16-1, and he hadn't been playing that well. So I had a good. I thought long and hard about backing him until I saw the price, because I think he had prepared well. That picture you're talking about was from about a week before the event. You know, he'd been there quite a bit, from what I can work out. So, but he was a short price to take.
It's obviously
he hadn't been in great form,
yeah.
Had he? No, you know, yeah. So you've got to let them win, haven't you? I think sometimes.
Yeah, indeed. I'm sure some people had the double out there as well.
It was doable,
both,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
With genuinely, not often many weeks can say that, but that was a doable double, wasn't it?
Was it about 140 and something?
Yeah, something like that, 16s and 8s, bigger price than that. Let's move on to Davis Love III and his captain picks for the Ryder Cup. He's announced three of them on Monday, and he's got one to come, which will be announced after the Tour Championship. His picks: Ricky Fowler, JB Holmes and Matt Kuchar. Mike, not any real shocks there.
Yeah, he is. They're fairly predictable. You could probably say that JB, who, by the way, got a share of a place for you at 66s last week, we should mention.
Well done,
that JB might have been a little bit more controversial, but I think some people would question him, wouldn't they? I think.
Yeah,
but
I think so.
But Fowler and Kuchar were probably, given their personalities, and they're likely to be good team players.
Holmes played on the last winning Ryder Cup team for the Americans, didn't he? In Kentucky, when he was like the homeboy. So I guess that's good for him.
And he played with Bubba Watson in the President's Cup last year, and they played four matches and won 2.5 points. So I wonder whether... I think the theory is that no matter what Bubba Watson does in the Tour Championship, he's going to get that fourth and final pick. But be interesting
if you were Bubba
down
Watson, would you think you should have been picked before JB Holmes?
Yes.
Yeah, but do you not think he's just told them?
I just don't understand the point of it if he's going to tell them going into the Tour Championship you will be my final pick, basically.
If you look on that, for all the sort of, it's a captain's pick, all he's done is pick 9, 10, 11 and 12 on the list.
Yeah, that's what I mean, and it just seems weird, doesn't
Except
it, that they've
just,
formed this task force,
10, 11,
they've talked
12,
about making these picks entirely different from the last Ryder Cup, and then it's the same old names in there.
Interesting.
Although, who would you have put forward, though, instead?
There was people talking about Justin Thomas because he's a good friend of Spieth, isn't there?
Daniel Berger maybe as a wild card.
Yeah, Gary Woodland, he'd mentioned himself, and Davis Love. So
Kevin Na maybe, that slow play, annoying the Europeans.
I've got to get it finished by
not sure he's the most popular figure in the camp.
I wonder whether that's why Bubba might not get picked. He's very long odds on to be picked, and he almost certainly will.
Just because of he's not.
I just wonder whether he's a team player and whether that's why he hasn't been picked already.
He's quite a divisive personality, isn't
he? That's what I'm thinking.
And he has played with Webb Simpson in previous Ryder Cups, but I can't imagine that many of the Americans are standing up and saying, I want to play with Bubba Watson.
Ricky Fowler's mate. If they're doing it in pods, then Fowler would be in his pod, but maybe couldn't think of two more.
Yeah.
Well, JB Holmes is the other obvious one who did play with him in the President's Cup last year.
And I guess.
He's on the team now.
Hands up, who also wants to be in Bubba's pod, and everyone just looks at the phone.
I know he recorded that single with him, whatever they were, but would he want to play with him, really? He might not, you know. You don't know what goes on behind
golf
the scenes,
boys,
do you?
Golf boys.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Bubba will be picked for all that I've just said, but say Gary Woodland or say Justin Thomas win the Tour Championship. Mm. I would suspect he might not be picked.
Yeah, I agree. So and Ryan Moore, who's been in great form, he could win the Tour Championship and get a pick perhaps as well.
Yeah. So it's
well, any of those who sort of American and who wins it.
It makes it intriguing, doesn't it? I suppose the Tour Championship for that reason in a couple of weeks' time.
I mean, they all want to be on the winning team, don't they? So they might,
let's.
They are going to win, by the way.
Yeah,
did I mention that?
I'm looking forward to that preview. Actually,
Price is getting a bit horrible, isn't it? 8-15 now.
Is that right?
It's gone 8-15 from 8-13. I think the last time we mentioned it.
Yeah.
It's getting shorter and shorter, isn't it? You're going to have a massive handicap.
Yeah.
Bet on the
plus 8.
Yeah. Let's get stuck into this week's championship then. The Italian Open, the one event, and Martin Kaymer is the 12-1 favourite here with William Hill. Danny Willett is 16-1. Benny Arne is 18s. Joost Luiten is 20-1. Matthew Fitzpatrick 20-1. Rafa Cabrera Bello is 20-1. Lee Westwood is 22s. Francesco Molinari 25-1, and it's 28-1 and bigger the rest. And for the second successive year, the players returning to the Golf Club Milano for this year's Italian Open. And Bird is the order of the day last year, Mr. Tindall, with Rickard Karlberg eventually prevailing in a playoff against Martin Kaymer. That pair finished the week 19 under par. There were a further seven players who shot 18 under par for the week, which gives you some idea of how easy the course played last year. Might be a little bit. Score might not be as low because they have changed the course slightly, haven't they? They've moved it from a par, or changed it from a par 72 to a par 71.
Yeah, I think the par 5 16th is now a long par 4, so that should immediately just knock four shots off, shouldn't it?
Yeah, you looked at last year, that was basically a gimme birdie.
Yeah.
All the top players played it in 3 or 4 under for the week.
I did a little look on the European Tour. It said on day 3 it played to an average of 4.1.
Is that right?
Yeah. Par 5.
So it's right that it has changed to a 4, really.
I think so, yeah.
And that's basically the only change. Similar yardage to last year as well. It's a pretty easy layout, Mike. We've only got 1 year of form to really go on. Missing the fairways didn't matter at all last year, but finding the greens did.
Yeah. Greens in regulation. I actually think that hitting it, driving distances, has some cachet this week, I think. Don't think it's the be-all and end-all, but I looked at the players that were up there and I thought, a little bit of distance won't harm. You've got to get birdies, haven't you? That simple as that. Because for all of that, you'd expect 15, 16 under would win, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
you'd think so. Have you got, how many picks have you got, Dave?
I've got two.
Yeah, I've got two as well.
I did have three, but I've got two because one of them is just too short with Mark had said it's prices, I'm afraid. So yeah. I'll have to make him a...
He can be a player you don't want to
phantom
win.
Phantom pick.
Dave Tindall, why don't you lead us off this week?
Yeah, I'm going to go again for Fabrizio Zanotti.
Okay.
Who never got in a blow last week, and I never really noticed him and just sort of ruled him out as, oh, what a waste that was. But he did actually finish 16th, and maybe that course wasn't as suitable as this course is for him. I think he really does like these tree-lined tracks. Even though you said missing fairways didn't matter, they are quite narrow and they're framed by trees. I just think that always suits his eye. We've got evidence from this very tournament itself. He was one of the guys in tied third last year.
Yeah.
So he's got the great course form. You look at his form as well. That 16th was just added to a run of him. He's kind of top 25 every week, just about Zanotti. I just think this is really up his street, this kind of test. I don't think... There's a few good ones at the front end of the market, but I think 40 to 1 is fair enough for a guy in great form, just on a course that really suits him, and he's proven it with, you know, one shot out of a playoff last year he finished, so he's going to be my main pick.
Very good. Fabrizio Zanotti, Dave's main pick at 40 to 1. Mike?
My phantom pick has been pushed out in the market.
Has he?
I might have to pick him. I might have to mention him straight away. Richard Stearney is my phantom pick that has now become a pick again, because he was 66 this morning, but it looks like he's been pushed out to 80s. Yep. Stearney hasn't any course form to speak of, but has been mixing decent finishes with an odd little disappointing run of late. He's flirted with the top 10 in four of his last eight events, including Ireland, France and Scotland, the National Opens there. Also was 10th in Denmark, the outing before last. Disappointed a little bit in Crans-sur-Sierre last time out when he was 49th. But Stearney is a guy who can go low. He's a quality player. He's, for example, when he won in Johannesburg in 2013, it was 27 under that was the winning score. And I noticed in his six wins on the European Tour, the worst score he's had to win was 13 under.
Right.
So a good greens and regulation man, usually. Not so much this year. He's been a bit patchy this year all around his game, but you can see there are elements of good scores. So I wouldn't be... None of my bets this week are going to be big bets, but they're big prices. So I'm willing to give him a go because I think he's a quality player. Hits it far enough. As I said, driving distances... I'm not looking for shorties this week. I want a little bit of length on this course, I think. And I do like a guy of Richard Stearney's ability and some of the top finishes he's had in top events. When I look at players that are shorter than him in this event, 80 to 1 catches my eye.
80 to 1 Richard Stearney, I like it. And he's included in the selections because of that drifting price, 66 out to 80.
The market was substantially bigger than 66, and 80s is a bit more like it.
Okay, I'm going with Jaco van Zyl as my first pick here at 40 to 1. Still yet to win on the European Tour, but has got 14 wins on the Sunshine Tour, and he's getting closer and closer to breaking his duck on the European Tour. Finished in a tie for 7th at Wentworth in the Tour's flagship event earlier in the season. And there's a lot to like about his recent form, with a tie for 19th in the Czech Republic being backed up by a tie for 6th in Denmark. Last year, he came close to winning on 4 occasions, was in contention in this event as well, going into Sunday before a 4th round 71 dropped him 10 spots. Made 23 birdies in the event last year, coming into the championship in form. I think 40s is fine. So Jaco van Zyl at 40 to 1 is my number one pick this week, Dave.
You're tempted to do him as first round leader because he's a brilliant record.
Yeah, he has got a brilliant record as first round leader. So, yeah, maybe have a look at that market as well, which is on the William Hill website. Jaco van Zyl to be the first round leader.
You could check it on the extensive European Tour stats on the European Tour.
You can't find anything on there, can you?
Four categories.
50 to 1 is Jaco van Zyl to be the first round leader.
I like that. I'd prefer that to...
The outright bet.
Yeah, I think the amount of times he would have landed that this year alone. Anyway, okay. we're talking about outright picks. So the other one I'm going to go for is Matt Fitzpatrick. There's a lot of Ryder Cup players playing here who are obviously very excited about that. And he had a dip, didn't he? You look at his results around that win in Sweden, and he would miss cuts either side, loads of them, and he thought, well, what's going on there? But then he's really started to get it back in recent times. He was 7th in the Swiss mountains, where you'd like to visit. His last start, so that was a really good performance. And again, he's come into the sort of course that he absolutely loves. He won at Woburn last year. Now, if you've ever seen Woburn, then it's a really tight layout framed by dense, thick trees. And then on this very course as well, 3rd last year, went in that pack in 3rd place. So again, I think he is very much a... I don't quite know what the catchphrase is for... You say horses for courses, but that type of courses, horses for courses, or something like that. Anyway, it suits him. I think that's the bottom line I'm trying to get at. I just think with that Ryder Cup on the horizon as well, clearly they're going to be, I think, pumped and trying to, you know... be as sharp as they can this week.
Are you tempted to back him after the first round? You were talking about Jaco van Zyl backing his first round leader. Are you tempted to back Fitzpatrick after the first round? Because you mentioned that Swiss event. He looked like he was going to miss the cut there. Awful first round.
Yeah.
Then came on strongly and climbed up the leaderboard throughout the weekend. In this event last year, started really slowly and almost got a backdoor top five there. If he starts well...
Yeah, it's a thought, isn't it? But then if he starts well, and then what do you do?
Yeah, he's sick then, I suppose.
Yeah, he's sort of stranded there, no man's land. So, yeah, you could keep...
It'd be interesting to see how he starts though this week, won't it? Because that's affected him, I think, in a couple of events.
Yeah, I think so. But, yeah, I'm happy to go in at the 20s. I think he's playing on one of the most suitable courses for him that he'll find on the whole European Tour schedule. Mm. And just with that pull of the Ryder Cup, you know fine well he wants to have his game in, banging top order.
20-1 Matthew Fitzpatrick. Mike?
My second pick, Dave, is Joachim Lagergren. I noticed that the Scandinavians actually did quite well in this event here last year. There was a number of them at the top five or six in the order at the end of the event. And he was one of them who was third, actually. Another player who can go low, he's a decent birdie man, he'll plenty of them this year, good putter, 13th on the putts for greens in reg stats. He needs to hit more greens, his greens in regulation stats this year are fairly moderate. But if he can do that, I'm pretty convinced that he can build on a nice little patch he's building at the moment. He did miss the cut the other week, but in between a 5th in Denmark and 20th in the KLM, build that on that third of last year. As I say, he's a guy who can go low. Young guy who's making his way on tour. I like his chances at 100-1. I think he's a decent each-way bet in this event. He can hit it pretty well as well. His overall stats on the tour would say that he's not the longest of drivers, but I think that's probably a little bit misleading because when he wants to get it out there, he can hit it far enough. He was 22nd for driving distance, for example, at the KLM last weekend in that event. So, yeah, Joachim Lagergren, I like him at 100-1, hoping that he really is a course specialist. And as I say, I think he's suited by these events where birdies are the order of the day.
At Lagergren for Mike, then, 100-1 here with William Hill. And I'm going to finish with Hao Tong Lee as my second selection at 80-1. It's a slightly more speculative bet than Jaco van Zyl, but his best performances have tended to come in low-scoring events, and even though he's yet to make a real impact outside of Asia, clearly a player with a lot of ability, and after a poor spell, he's caught my eye in his last couple of starts, finished well for a top 20 at the KLM Open, and that came on the back of his tie for 18th at the European Masters. He shot 22 under par to win the China Open at the start of the season. I reckon he's got a real shot around this track, and 80-1 is good enough for me. So Hao Tong Lee at 80-1 is my second pick. And you must have a third pick now, then,
I do have a third pick. Another South African, actually. I think it's about the third one on this on our bonanza of picks. Africans, never mind anything
we
else.
We need to strike this week, 7 picks.
Well, mine are all half-point each-way bets. I'm not having, it's only 3 points, so it's not like big picks. It's the big prices. Brandon Stone's my final one. Brandon's, what price is he now?
Brandon Stone is in the betting at 50-1.
Yeah, that's a decent price for Brandon Stone. He was 10th in the KLM at the weekend. It missed a couple of cuts in the majors, in the Open and the PGA. 55th in the Olympic wasn't anything fantastic in that field. But before that period, in some slightly lesser class, he was 5th in the French Open. I say last weekend was reassuring for a guy who had started the year ever so well, won a couple of events in South Africa, was 2nd in the Shenzhen. He's another guy who can get the birdies, which is what I'm looking for very much this week. Top 40 on the driving distance stats and greens in regulation stats on tour, and a decent enough putter as well. So yet another who I think can get to somewhere like 14 to 20 under. I think as my other two picks, I think that's essential this week. So Brandon Stone, I think he's got potential, this fella. I like him. So he'd be my third pick.
50-1, Brandon Stone for Mike as his third pick in the event. 7 picks for you to get stuck into, listeners, if you wish to do so. Honourable mentions then. Who came closest for you, Dave?
Well, I do think the front three represent,
You like the top of the market this week.
Yeah, I think that's a strong unit. Keimer should have won it last time. He was 3 clear at the turn and played poorly after that. Danny Willett was one of those in third as well last year. He just started to come back a little bit.
Yeah.
to form, so he likes the course. I just think Benny Arne played really, really well last week, finished really fast, won at Wentworth on a tree line track. I think he's got a win in him soon. He's just too good to not contend in one of these type of events as well. So that front three, not particularly keen on Loughton. I think he might dip after his big moment.
He was partying, wasn't he? But I just he played so well on Sunday that it wouldn't surprise me if Loughton was in contention as well. I do really like Fitzpatrick, one of your picks, and he, from those guys at the top of the betting, Mike, Fitzpatrick was the one that I'd have been with, I think.
Yeah, I'm not so keen on Kymer or Willett this week. I have to say, Benny Arne, I could think could play well. I think he's a really good player. And Loughton, yeah, if he's fine, he is a player who can string good performances together, isn't he? So Fitzpatrick, he just blows hot and cold. He could do either, couldn't he? He could. Mm. That's what I think about him. So it makes for a very good event, I think. Surprisingly good field, given the time of year and what have you. So, yeah, other than the names at the top that you just mentioned, I think Tommy Fleetwood's coming back to form, but I don't think he'll hold enough putts. Probably the same for Roman Vettel, who was very much in contention here last year, and he's quite a big price. I think he's around the 100-1 mark, is he?
Yeah.
Vettel.
His 80s.
Yeah, he had a good finish here last year, but those two will hit the greens. I just don't know whether they'll hold enough putts.
Just on the putting thing, I think it helps some of the bad putters that the greens are so slow here, because you can put a bit more aggressively. I do think that helps some of the guys that have been struggling on tour with their putting. They can really, they can really try and be aggressive and not worry about the one coming back, which I think often affects bad putters.
It levels the playing field.
I think it does a little bit, yeah, the slow greens, and they are some of the slowest greens were last year some of the slowest greens on the European Tour.
I mean, that maybe leads us on to talk about Francesco Molinari, because I guess people who saw Loughton winning Holland, they'll be thinking, all right, Molinari,
an Italian guy here
in Italy. But he did win this 2006, but since then, to me, he's looked a bit shaky. He's looked like he's felt the pressure of trying to do it in front of his home fans. Mm-hmm. Had some good positions, but he's never really, taken advantage of them down the year. So he was one I was quick to think, not really for me.
I like another Italian at a big price. He's just been pushed out. 80-1 was very short, but 100-1's more like it for Renato Paratore, who...
Yeah, he's got some good form.
Really good form. Missed the cut at the KLM Open, but he makes loads of birdies and loads of errors as well. He's not quite... Because he is so young and just making his way on the European Tour, he just needs to fine-tune his game ever so slightly, but I think he's got a big game, and Renato Paratore at 100-1 I thought was decent. And Maximilian Kiefer, who I meant to mention on last week's podcast but never did, he's 150-1. His career stalled a little bit this season, but he played well at the Paul Laurier match play, and even though he only finished 34th last week, his game stats from tee to green were superb, and he just didn't put well. I've got a sneaky feeling he could go well at a really big price, 150-1 Kiefer.
Mm.
Any more before we wrap?
People might look at Scott Hend because he's one of the form horses. He's been the 54-hole leader the last two weeks. He's having a really good season, Scott Hend. So 40-1, maybe the handicap has not quite collared him enough there, possibly.
He had that big mistake on 9, didn't he, last Sunday, which cost him. And he's still got that in his locker, hasn't he, that?
He has. But he's playing well and he hits it a good way as well. And he's definitely in form, so his time will probably come again.
Okay, let's get the player you don't want to win this week then. Who's the chap that came closest but didn't quite make the cut?
Probably, and he's a big price, Romain Vettel, probably the big price one.
Mm. I'd go with Maximilian Kiefer, I think. Only just left him out at 150s.
Benny Arne for me.
Benny Arne at 18-1. Let's get the selections then. Mike, you start off. You've got three picks this week.
Yeah, all of mine, as I said earlier, quite big prices, but all half a point each way, just to try and keep the stakes down a little bit, if anyone follows all of our picks. Richard Cerny at 80-1, Joachim Lagergren at 100s, and Brandon Stone at 50s.
I'm going to go with Jaco van Zyl at 40-1 and Hao Tong Li at 80-1, point each way on both.
I'm going to go a point each way on Fabrizio Zanotti. I'll go a point each way on Matt Fitzpatrick at 20s, but I'm also going to put in van Zyl for first round leader at 50s.
All right, yeah, you like that?
Yeah, just a half point each way. I just think I'll kick myself if that goes in again.
You're right, Dave. We haven't got enough bets in this. Can I have a few three balls as well?
I want to be winning after day one.
Very good.
Just one thing to mention, Dave. Have you given your tips?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Yeah. I should have been listening.
Thanks for listening. Yeah.
I'm too busy thinking about what I was going to say myself. It's the senior tour goes to the iconic Pebble Beach this week, which is always worth watching a bit of if you can get a chance. It's on the telly anyway or on the internet, I believe that happens.
Who's going to win?
I'm not sure because I haven't looked at it totally yet. VJ has a great record at Pebble Beach.
He does,
but
yeah.
His putting's gone to pot, so I couldn't really be backing him for anything until he sorts that out. Bernard Langer will probably be at least placed. But there are others who like it here as well. Mark O'Meara.
And they're taking a lot of the market, aren't they? Langer's 4-1 here with William Hill. Vijay Singh 7-1, and it's 14s bar, that pair.
Yeah,
so.
I have had a small look at it, and there are a couple of players that I want to have a better look at. I will definitely tweet on this one. I mean, not had a great year on the Champions Tour, but this is a good event, and I'll have a look at it.
My kind of old school PGA Tour knowledge, but not seeing his knowledge, would immediately make me think Mark O'Meara because he won 5 times, didn't
correct,
he?
Correct, yeah.
He's, on the regular tour there.
Yeah, he's not got an amazing. He's played in this event for the last few years and not won it, for example. So there are other players with course on, but he's. I think he won something there last year, kind of pro am or something. He did win that before the event. He has, but
it'd be,
he was always the king of Pebble Beach, wasn't he?
If this was a new section. A senior's player they want to win it would be him.
40-1 he is.
Well, he's back about 40. I'm not saying he can't win by any means. He loves it here. So, it's a great course to watch, isn't it? And have a little interest in.
Definitely. We'll be back next week on the podcast to preview the Tour Championship, which I suppose is the closing off of the PGA Tour
the
season.
Denouement.
The denouement, that's the word that I was searching. I've edited that bit out now, Mike. So that was the word that I was searching for before I edited it out. That's the one.
Climax?
The climax.
Finish.
That's fine. They're all good. They're all good. The end of the FedEx Cup race. So we'll be back to preview that event next week where 30 players will go for that big jackpot. And I think, is it the week after the Ryder Cup or the 2 weeks after the end of September as well? So there's still a lot to look forward to.
Always.
In terms of golf this season. Thank you for everyone that's tuned into the podcast. Thank you to everyone that's tuned into the podcast. I'm going to pot now, so I'm going to go to sleep shortly. If you want to follow us all on Twitter, @dkellner, @mgrenham, @DaveTyndallGolf, download the podcast via iTunes, and you can check it out at audioboom.com by typing in William Hill as well. And myself, Mike and Dave will be back next week. If you're having a bet this week, very best of luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with 4 or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.